Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to continue Lenten conversation, this time with Paul Lambert from the Knights of Columbus. He's active at every level of the Knights of Columbus. He's going to talk a little bit about his journey, and we're going to tie it back to Lent, believe it or not, through the Lenten fish fries that the KC's put on. So stick around for that interview, if you would. Renee Kranz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Lenten Sunday. Michelle Sletten with the first and second reading. Father Joseph Schulten with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst, with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more, and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. This place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord. The beginning of the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking with you. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Krantz.
Minnesota's Archbishop said he was profoundly saddened that elected officials in St. Paul and Minneapolis declared March 10th Abortion Provider Appreciation Day. Given that each human life is created in the image and likeness of God and has value, to honor those who purposefully end such life is an affront not only to our Creator, but to the foundational values of civil society, Archbishop Bernard A. Hebda of St. Paul and Minneapolis said in a March 10th statement. There is no way around it. Abortion kills children, he continued. What gives me hope, however, are the countless women and men of goodwill who tirelessly give of themselves to accompany women in crisis pregnancies, love and assist moms and babies, and work to create a culture of life in our communities and in our world. It is those people we should be honoring. The day fell in the middle of 40 days for Lent Twin Cities, February 26th to April 5th, during which pro-life advocates pray 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. outside Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. On March 4th, St. Paul's 7 city council members unanimously approved the resolution to have the observance. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey declared March 10th that Minneapolis was joining St. Paul in officially recognizing the day as Abortion Providers Appreciation Day. With all the news a Catholic can use, this is Renee Krantz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Had to cut you a little bit short this morning, Renee, as we have a good interview coming up, so Great. Let's get to it.
All right.
This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Paul Lambert, who is a member of the Knights of Columbus and a member at, I think I might say, every level of the Knights of Columbus. Paul has been active at his local court at the state level and at the national level now. We're going to talk a little bit about each of those in particular ways this morning. Paul, great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
I know that, or at least I suspect, you got your start in being active in the Knights of Columbus a long time ago, and I'm sure at your local level, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We were not native of Madison, so we moved here and going to St. Thomas Catholic Church, and of course, everyone was kind of a stranger, and then we had a couple of people that, you know, came up to introduce themselves, and then over the course of a few years, we had some pretty good friendships, and I had two of the members of the parish that were quite active in the parish come and approach me and ask me if I wanted to join the Knights of Columbus and serve the church in a different way, and I remember distinctly that they asked me to join not because we were friends, but to join because of service to the church. So that's kind of how it all began.
And that meant something to you, I gather, because you certainly followed through.
Yeah, I had the support of my wife, Julie, and and just started real gradual and just kind of continued.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Paul, is this time of year, of course, we're thinking about Lent. We're in the Lenten season, and we're aware of all the different ways that the church invites us to deepen our own spiritual practices, you know, certainly in terms of prayer and fasting and almsgiving and all of that. But I had a friend who recently said that they thought that the fish fries, which the KCs are so famous for in a lot of our parishes, that the fish fries were a particular form of evangelization. And I have to confess, I had never thought about a fish fry in that way. And yet they talked about the fact that, you know, they can invite family members who maybe aren't as active in the church right now, and they can invite them to things like the Casey Fish Fry. And it does become, in a sense, a tool of evangelization. And I don't know if that's part of the intention or not, but I was fascinated by that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't really think that it was maybe intended to be that way, but it certainly is. And there's plenty of councils, local councils, that do that, and they do it for a couple of reasons. One, just for the fact that maybe there isn't in that community, maybe there's not a place for the parish to gather and, you know, for that Friday observance. And then they also do it as a little fundraiser activity that can, again, can use those funds to for charity. Mm-hmm. in the months ahead throughout the year. So I think there's a couple different reasons, but it's a great family activity to where we're always looking for those types of things where we can include husband, wife, and all the children as well.
And I think a lot of parishes, it gets tied to either Stations of the Cross or maybe a Friday evening mass or something, and it becomes a way for the community to continue to spend a little time together, even in addition to the prayer time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a good recipe for success. And again, I hadn't really thought about it as evangelization, but I can see, in a sense, how that plays out. And I don't know, you know, again, that the Knights of Columbus necessarily think of themselves as an evangelization tool, but in reality, I think that does often play out in a lot of what the Knights do. Am I right about that?
You are. And in recent years, there's been a focus that the Knights need to play maybe a greater role in evangelization, because we look at what other, the largest Catholic family lay organization associated with the Catholic Church, and what other organization is better equipped than the Knights to be in a role of evangelization. And so those charitable outreach things that we're doing, kind of speak in an indirect way of evangelizing. And then, we're challenged and called to do that as Catholics. And through the Knights gives us a great opportunity to do it.
Yeah, it kind of becomes a part of the face of the Catholic world for those that may not be as familiar with it.
Yes.
Yeah. That people can make a connection, in a sense, to the church in a way that they otherwise not might. In a sense, I think that's exactly what the laity is called to do, and the Knights provide a way to do that.
Right. The so that's a real tangible way to kind of give back, and it really is. Well, for me personally, it's been just a real blessing to met so many incredible people, including, you know, a number of people that work right there in the chancery office that I wouldn't have met otherwise.
Yeah.
And so you meet just incredible people, and gives you an opportunity to do things that outside of your normal work occupation, and then just going to mass. There's just a lot of different opportunities to interact with one another and get to know people and try to make a difference, try to make an improvement for others.
I think that is obviously the goal of all kinds of fraternal organizations. We're blessed in this diocese to have a number of them, and, you know, certainly the Knights probably the largest of them. But I grew up, for example, in a parish where it was Catholic Order of Foresters was the prevailing organization at the time. And there's other parishes where there's other different kinds of fraternal organizations. But I think at the bottom line, they all have the same goal. They want to help the person in their own faith life and perhaps in other ways as well, and then in turn to help the church. And well, gosh, what a beautiful thing that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It, we have more in common than what we have in different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm guessing, Paul, when you got started, you had no idea where it would take you. And I'll go so far as to say, I know that it has taken you, for example, to the Vatican. And I'm guessing that that's never something you thought would happen when you got started with the Knights of Columbus.
Well, you're absolutely correct. It was one of those things that, you know, what I knew about the Knights was fairly vocal. And so I had, you know, understood that by joining together with others, you know, I can get more accomplished than just what I could do individually. And so it, yeah, I had a great local council. We had a number of people that we did just a lot of different activities, whether it was family campouts or just, you know, bingo parties or whatever it was. We were a really active council, and it was fun to be involved with those people. And then, as you know, you kind of step through some officer ranks. I had people ask me if I would consider doing this or that, and well, I'll give it a try, you know. And so then I ended up being elected as the Grand Knight, which is the head of the local council. And then from there, I got asked to serve on the state council level. And one thing led to another, and before I knew it, eventually I was the state deputy.
Yep.
And so then, you know, I had some other things in between, and then a few years went by, and I got a phone call and asked if I would be willing to serve on the board of directors for the international organization, the council. And so it's through that that the board has made on two occasions. One, we just got back here a month ago, but on two occasions we've had a pilgrimage to Rome, and part of that pilgrimage then is spent time at the Vatican. And we were blessed both times to have an audience with the Holy Father.
That's just
very humbling,
yeah,
to have those opportunities. And again, just associated with great people, it's just been a real blessing.
So I think about it from maybe a different perspective, Paul, and that is how great it is for people here to know that there's somebody like you representing them at the International Knights of Columbus level. That South Dakota is at the table, if you will, certainly because there's unique things about the life that we live here, the faith that we live here, that you're able, I'm sure, to share in certain ways that otherwise they wouldn't know about.
And that's true, because before, you know, I had those opportunities to be involved to know really what the organization was doing, you know, on a larger scale. It was very difficult, and quite honestly, I feel that that's probably my most difficult role, is trying to communicate to others as to the impact that we are having.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in our own country, but in the countries where, you know, where we serve and where we're active, and even in places like, you know, one of the recent initiatives was the genocide that was taking place over in Iraq and Syria, and the Knights were leading the cause to make the public aware of that. And then we've also, you know, stepped up and done quite a substantial financial obligation to do that, to help support them and rebuild things. And it's all part of the, you know, the 2 million members made up of local people like myself that all help make that possible collectively to be able to respond to do those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And to know that you're having an impact around the world, certainly locally as well. I mean, I'm assuming you probably have some tally of the amount of charitable work done in this state. I know that just the number of hours of donated time and in addition to the dollars, it's a significant, those are both significant numbers.
Yes, they are. And it's amazing how much generosity that there is in, you know, the local councils and responding to the local needs and what's really, and that's really the local council is the strength of what the Knights are, because we're seeing what that need is, and we're responding to it and trying to help. In fact, just our recent visit with Pope Francis, in our audience with him, he specifically pointed out that the Knights were in concert with what his vision is, and that was reaching out to the peripheries. Mm. And he cited our work in the Middle East for that Christian refugee, you know, relief, and the things that we're doing like that. You know, we're going to the peripheries, and one example of that as well, just right here in South Dakota, we just did a wheelchair distribution for the residents on the Pine Ridge and Rosebud reservations, and then we also did Coats for Kids drive and donated a couple semi-loads full of winter coats last September out to the reservation and made those distributions. And so we look at, you know, those could be peripheries even within our own country. And so the Knights are responding to that type of invitation from the Holy Father. And so we makes you feel pretty good that we're in concert with the things that are important to him.
Yeah. And I think you make such a great point about there's global work to be done, but there's local work to be done, and that the Knights are, in a sense, trying to respond to both levels at the same time and successfully doing that. And it kind of brings me back to the whole Lent where we started, Paul. Again, you know, the church asks us to deepen our prayer, to consider ways that we can fast from things and to give alms to those who are in need, to the poor specifically. You know, it sounds like what the Knights are doing is kind of living out Lent.
It really is. And, you know, charities is our underlying first principle. So it is. And then we have a faith in action programming that we call it. And a lot of that is to try and instill and deepen the Catholic faith in each one of us. And, you know, we've kind of picked out Bishop Olmsted from Phoenix had written this, Into the Breach. And so we've kind of adopted that type of thing and encouraged our councils, especially during this Lenten time, to really take that on and understand and deepen our faith. And so, you know, I would agree with you, Jerry, that it's that those Lenten principles, if you will, is kind of what we try to imitate if we can, maybe just throughout the entire year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know one of the other things that you've begun working on in our state is to try to work with those who are responding to disasters. There's another example of, in a sense, putting faith into action when we have neighbors that are in need, and to be ready to do so when the moment comes.
Yes, we started initially, it was an international effort. And kind of organized, and we've just kind of been pushing that down to the state level and having more of a concentrated effort in trying to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Because we know that there's a lot of communities that locally are just as in need, and we just never know when it might be our turn. And so the Knights have been a little more concerted effort on trying to be prepared and planning and so that we're providing the right type of assistance in a very timely manner, understanding that each one is a little bit unique, but also there's a lot of commonality that of the types of services and things that are needed.
So I think as we come down to our last minute or so, Paul, I just think about all the things we've talked about, all the different ways that the local councils are doing things. There's really probably something for just about everybody, a way to serve, even if they're, they don't have particular skills or particular talents in a particular area. There's probably a way you can belong and participate and kind of do what you need to do for yourself and help others at the same time.
Absolutely. It's, we have out of the, the 2 million members we have, they range from 18 to 100. And we have a number of different programs that are made to, pique someone's interest. And there's just a lot of opportunities. Again, for me personally, I really enjoy it because I've met so many people outside of my normal work occupation that I would have never done. And they've given me opportunities to be able to grow both in my faith and just personally. And so the Knights really do offer something for everyone. And it's a family organization. So it's not that, only, the men join, but when the men join, the family joins.
Mm-hmm.
And we really try to include them in all the activities that we're doing and trying to promote. So, it's been a tremendous blessing for myself.
Paul, so grateful for you taking time and sharing with us as we again contemplate our own Lenten journeys. We've been talking this morning with Paul Lambert, member at St. Thomas Aquinas in Madison, and a member of the International Board for the Knights of Columbus at the current time. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jerry.
The coronavirus situation is such a fluid one right now, Renee. We've sent information out to households, but it may change. So
Yeah. So watch the website, the diocesan website, sfcatholic.org.
Yeah.
And maybe a CDC website.
Yeah, health officials are going to call this on a lot of things. We'll do what we can as church to support that and to support all of our people as we go through this together.
Right, and pray a lot.
Keep praying. That's exactly right. That's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back with you next Sunday.